Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The base is loaded and one out.
Harper, oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bases Loaded. Bases Loaded is a fantasy baseball podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. And tonight, I am joined by George and almost called you Zach, Mike.
Oh, you man.
I know, it's one of those things. Well, you're coming off a cold, so you're a little monotone. So that's where the
I'm pretty sure I'm always monotone.
You have a little more enthusiasm in your voice compared to Zach. But regardless, you can follow these guys on Twitter. George is at JMontanas90. Mike is at SPStreamer. Did I say how you can follow me? I think I did, but I'm gonna repeat myself. I'm at Mike_Kurland, and we are just gonna kind of talk. What I deemed a buried treasure, something like that, something cliche, but essentially we're just highlighting. We're gonna give you 9 names in total, 3 each, that you can grab outside of the top 380 in ADP. So we can kind of just dive right in. I mean, other than the Edwin Encarnacion news, there hasn't really been much to discuss, I would say, as far as relevant news by the time this is released, and we all agree it's a great signing and great value. I don't know. Anything else you want to add on that before we
really go? I mean, you obviously that White Sox team is trying to contend, you know, this season, and signing Encarnacion, you wonder, you know, what that does with all the time at DH for guys like Grandal and Zach Collins. His value is probably just, you know, completely gone at this point.
McCann.
You got Abreu. Yeah, McCann. So, I mean,
McCann, yeah, I'm saying McCann follow, like McCann and Zach Collins definitely took a hit. McCann was almost a viable catcher two in deep formats, but now he's almost like he's a catcher three at best right now. And you're hoping he gets traded. But other than that, again, that's kind of the ramifications of it, kind of all about it. The White Sox are just exciting and a fun team. I'm glad to see it. That division's for the taking. So
yeah, and then I'm not sure if this signing, if we touched on Hyunjin Ryu last time to the Blue Jays.
No, we didn't, but I mean, I've talked about it enough on Twitter. I'm just kind of, I'm with you. Like, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I'm not overly excited. It's a park downgrade. It's a division downgrade.
I feel like it's a lateral move, honestly.
It's a worse offense. What do you mean lateral? He's facing a harder division, worse ballparks all around, essentially.
I kind of like the defense behind him, though, which is what really matters.
Which is going to be better than the Dodgers? Probably not.
Well, I think they could be just as good, and, you know. I just think it's a lateral move. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I'm not a huge fan of it. Your opinion doesn't matter right now, Mike.
I mean, I'm low on him for the year anyway, so regardless.
Where do you have him ranked? Do you recall?
I have no idea.
Top 50, though, right? Top 40-ish?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I think I put him around 40, and I felt kind of weird doing it because it's like – I might favor him over like a Mad Bum type, but that's like they're both kind of neck and neck with me. I don't know. That's the range I have them. So mostly because of health, not because of skill. Anyway, okay, now we could dive in.
All right.
So I think I'm just gonna start because I think my guy has the lowest ADP technically out of the 9 players we're gonna discuss tonight, and my first guy is Sam Hilliard, which I thought I had the ADP pulled up, but apparently I cannot find it. Give me a second. Sam Hilliard has an ADP of 315.95 in early NFBC drafts, and he really is going to be a huge riser or a huge faller. I think his price right now is pretty fair, but there's a lot to like here. I think he can actually hold off Hampson over there in Colorado, and he came up and showed that he was capable of a little power, a little bit of speed. And in the minors last year, he put up 35 home runs and 22 stolen bases. And it's not the first time. In 2017, he put 21 home runs and 37 stolen bases. The power and speed skill is very legit. There's some batting average there. And Coors will help carry that. So the BABIP is very real because of the speed. So I think just in general, a solid high upside guy, a little bit of power and speed, and Coors. It comes down to if he wins that job, and I think he can. I mean, I don't see why not. Right now, he's actually slotted to be the starter. For something I didn't mention, although the K rate is a little concerning, you know, it does sit around, you know, the mid to upper 20s. The walk rate sits around anywhere from 8.5 to about 10%. So he does get on base, so the on base skills are there. So stolen bases will come, and I think people want power and speed. People want speed that isn't empty. Sam Hilliard is a great target to grab outside of the top 300, albeit just outside, because he offers that power and speed combination. So. Don't know. I mean, what do you guys think about him? I mean, he's kind of an interesting topic, I think.
Yeah, he's got a ton of upside. I mean, post 300, you're looking at – he showed last season that he has a ton of power. I do know that he strikes out quite a bit, but we'll see. I mean, it all depends on how many at-bats they want to give Ian Desmond, you know, guys like that.
I was going to say the only problem is the Rockies love to block their prospects any way possible. So, yeah. We got to see what they end up doing, obviously, but –
Exactly, and that's why being outside the top 300, that's why I get myself – I'll take a few shares of Hilliard, but I'm passing on Hampson because, you know, they're relatively in similar situations, one being drafted, you know, probably over 100 picks sooner. So that's my big thing. So I'm taking the value on Hilliard and hoping it pays off. Zach, mm-hmm. I'm calling you Zach now. Mike, who's your first guy, man?
I'm going with Howie Kendrick first. He's currently going at 323.
Okay, so right behind.
I know he's probably he might end up platooning, but he did that this year. He was still a top 200 player. So you still get him at a discount. He was 20th overall in barrels per plate appearance percentage. And I just think he's gonna replicate what he did last year. I mean, he put up what'd he do? He put up 17 homers, 62 RBIs. He got a couple steals in there. And he hit cleanup for them. So, I mean, especially if they end up going a little more full-time with him, he's going to have plenty of opportunities. And I just think he's still at a great value for 2020.
He is multi-positional eligible too, right? That's a big deal. Yeah, he's first and second right now in FBC leagues, which means if you play in Yahoo, he probably has first, second, third.
Shortstop, outfield, catcher.
Yeah, he sneezed on a position last year. He has eligibility. So that's a big bonus. And like you said, I think the big thing is that I think he right now, obviously they haven't made – if they get like a Donaldson and stuff, it kind of crowds it. Keboom comes up. I get that. But right now, he kind of is slotted in, I believe, to be the starting first baseman without much competition there.
Yeah, Steamer actually projects him for 535 plate appearances.
Oh, wow. So. And so basically, a daily league, he'd be way more – and that's another thing you have to remember. Right. These guys are we're talking outside the top 300, so there's always going to be a flaw to find in every single one of them. Most of the time, it's playing time. So. Yeah,
they'll all have, like, caveats to them.
So, but these are going to be hopefully helpful names for you to consider come draft day. Or if you're drafting now. George, name your first post 300 treasure.
All right. So my first guy, I mean, you know, there won't be too many fantasy relevant Giants, you know, this season. So, and if I have an opportunity to talk about one of my guys, I'm going to do it right here. Mauricio Dubon is my first guy. Second base, shortstop, dual eligible. He should be spelling Crawford at times at shortstop, but should get most of his time at second base. But they got him last season, and there's no one there that is stopping him from being like a top of the order bat in that lineup. I know that like roster resource right now hasn't projected to bat like near the bottom of the lineup, but really, I mean, there's no one there that would prevent him from hitting closer to the top. And I think he's got, you know, good double digit home run and stolen base upside, you know, upwards of 10 to 15 for each. He has three seasons of 30 steals in the minors. He made his debut last season. He came up and he showed a little bit of that potential, hitting 274 with four home runs and three steals in 30 games. So yeah, he's just a, you know, he's not a great OBP guy, but I mean, he's got some speed. He can hit for average. He makes a ton of contact. He doesn't strike out. So just one of those guys that you could target late to give you just a little bit of a combo, you know, a little bit of home run power and won't hurt you in average.
Well, that kind of plays right into my next guy, because my next guy is kind of the same thing. It's Ian Happ, and it's one of those like post-hype sleeper type of guys, and he's at 362. He's only 25 years old, which I kind of forgot how young he was. And if you combine his triple A and major league stint last year, he had 27 home runs, 11 steals, and he actually hit 264 in his 58 games up in the major leagues. He's not a batting average guy. I get that. But I think 250 is very attainable. And you're talking about potentially 10 steals and 25 or so home runs. I mean, he did those 25 home runs in 580 at bats. And right now he is slotted in to start every day, or maybe not start every day, but he's definitely slotted in as a starter. Would be at least a strong side of platoon. He does walk a ton. And the very encouraging thing about him was, albeit in a smaller capacity, he did improve all, like, pretty much across the board his plate discipline. So there is a lot to, you know, there's a lot of upside there to be had. And just remember, like, was it 2 years ago now? He was like a mid-round guy, like a eighth or so round guy people were taking because he came off so strong in 2017, if I remember correctly, something like that. So it's there. The upside's there. You're getting that potential at such a cheap price. I really like Ian Happ this year.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
That's all I got. I don't know. That's all I got. But and one last thing, I guess I did notice is he did kind of take more of an all fields approach. Nothing too drastic, but he definitely pulled a little less, put the ball to center a little more. So again, just a little more of a, maybe showing more of a maturity and in overall growth at the plate, but nothing too much, because like I said, it's very, very minor compared to 2018. But it seemed to play well at least in 2019. So I like him as long as he's a projected starter coming into 2020, which if they move Chris Bryant, he definitely should and might even gain third base eligibility. You can't bank on that, but that is a possibility. So it's Ian Happ. That's my second guy. Mike, who's your second guy?
My second guy is going to be Daniel Norris. He's currently going at 660. He's got a really good changeup, which I like. It's all basically like top 10 in almost every category. And he also has a decent slider. The problem with him was his fastball, because he basically just threw it down the middle every time. I was kind of looking at his heat maps, and towards the end of the year, he started placing it more up in zones, which is what you want to see. I also noticed that he is very, very bad third time through the order. And what the Tigers decided to do towards the end of the year, they kind of were only letting him go about three innings. So I guess his caveat is we got to see if they start letting him go a little longer. Maybe they could just get him to five and maybe only sees the lineup twice. And, I mean, with a good slider changeup combo, and if he improves the location of that fastball, I feel like he could provide a lot of value. And he's only 26, too, so he's young.
Well, keep it rolling, Mike. I'm enjoying the monotone voice. Who's your third guy, man? I mean, it's hard to again. I want to pick. You know, I want to pick at these names a little bit, but it's hard to, because again, all these players, you're going deep, man, and we all are. It's like we're taking shots, and that's what this is all about. But we're trying to help exploit the ADP and show you guys, like, hey, there are names out there to be had, especially in your deeper leagues. Take advantage of it. So anyway, Mike, go ahead and keep rolling with your third guy.
All right, I'll try to be as monotone as possible for you.
Oh, doing great. I'm falling asleep here while I'm trying to read the questions for later. So go ahead.
My last guy is Merrill Kelly, who I've talked about a little bit in the past. He's basically, you just got to watch his fastball velocity and see what it's doing in spring training. He has a decent car and curveball, but when his fastball was 93 or higher, he killed it for five starts. He put a sub-2 ERA up with a decent K-walk percentage. And currently he's going after guys who are pretty boring, like Anibal Sanchez. And I just feel like if this guy's throwing, you know, if he's throwing 93 or higher coming into the season, he's definitely worth the risk at 328.
No, actually, as far as Merrill Kelly goes, I've started coming around on him myself. I do recall how he finished off the season, and that's kind of what's stuck in my head. So I'm hoping that kind of rolls over into this year as well. And again, at the price, he's a great back end of your rotation filler for fantasy teams. George, who's your third guy?
Yeah, so my third guy, Luis Urias. He, you know, made the change over to the Brewers. Another guy who's a second base shortstop, dual eligibility, going at a 316 right now in NFBC ADPs. Another one of those guys that has more upside. You know, I'd say that he's got considerably more upside than Dubon. Dubon is more of a kind of a safer pick, but Urias, he's got that upside. We saw what he did in the minors last season. Hit 315 with 19 home runs, 7 steals in AAA. And I mean, it's no mystery at this point, like what he needs to do. We know that he needs to lift the ball a little more. And I know that he has made some gains in that aspect, but I think 49% ground ball rate still is still too much, you know, but you like a lot of his profile as far as like, you know, he has good walk rates. He had a combined 86.8% medium to hard contact rate. The thing is, you know, he needs to lift the ball, because taking a look at his Statcast data, you know, he had a 92.1 mile per hour average exit velocity on line drives, but a 83.8 average exit velocity on ground balls. And, you know, if he can just lift that ball, and, you know, we've seen guys go to Milwaukee, you know, you love the park there. And, yeah, I mean, we know the change he needs to make. And if he can do that, I think he's got the potential to get you, you know, 20 to 25 home runs, chip in, you know, maybe 10 steals, hit in that lineup in that park. So going after pick 300, I think he's, you know, considering just how shallow second base is too, I think he's worth the shot.
I think that was George's second, though, not third.
Was it? I don't know anymore.
Right, yeah, that was my second.
Oops. Well, you know,
Mike just completely ruined the order of this.
Yeah, I did.
It's all good. It went right over my head. I didn't even know.
having you go back to back, it felt right, Mike. I'm sorry, George.
So
you know
now
what?
We let George go back.
George, go back to back. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, I'll go back to back here. I got another one of my San Francisco guys, Logan Webb. He is going all the way up at pick 602 on NFBC. He, you know, he did really good last season in double A. He had a 2.18 ERA, 10.23 K per nine, kind of earned his way up to the majors, where he made 8 starts. He had a 5.22 ERA, but it came with a 4.12 FIP. So, I mean, you see in San Francisco, you know, if there's any place that a guy is going to outpitch like his peripherals, who doesn't have the best stuff, it's going to be, you know, in San Francisco, in that park. And especially considering that he's a really good ground ball pitcher. He had, you know, over 60% ground ball rate in the minors last season. Came up and he had a 48% ground ball rate up in the majors. He got a little bit unlucky, 65.4% strand rate, 333 BABIP against him. So, I mean, I think, yeah, that late, I think he's worth keeping an eye on there in San Francisco. I think he's got... I mean, you're looking at guys like Cueto, Samardzija. You wonder how much upside they have left at this point. So if you're going to, you know, try to pick...
They don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Webb, actually, you know, he's probably one of the more intriguing arms there in San Francisco. So I thought I'd highlight him here. He did end the season, you know, with two solid performances, two quality starts against the Braves and Dodgers. So we'll see if he can carry that over into 2020. So I want to keep an eye on there in San Francisco with Logan Webb.
Yeah, I actually, just one quick thing on Webb. He actually has a really, really good slider. He creates a lot of weak contact. His K percentage was over 40% on it. And he's providing a 0.49 FIP on it, too. He's got a decent changeup, too. So I kind of like both of his breaking pitches. And like you said, George, he creates a lot of ground balls, which is great.
Right, yeah.
And if he could just improve his fastball a little bit, I mean, plus in that park. And that late in the draft, he's definitely like a solid kind of shot in the dark kind of guy.
Exactly. So, like you said, you highlighted his slider, and which is great. And he actually got a 50% ground ball rate on the fastball. You know, so I mean, you can, if you combine all those things and, you know, see if he can put everything together next season, he's going to have all the opportunity there in San Francisco. And like I said, you like the park. So yeah, I think Logan Webb is someone to keep an eye on. And maybe, you know, in your deep leagues, take a shot with your last pick.
Well, this kind of falls right into my last guy. Well, not really. Your last guy did as a Brewer. Because I had the transition ready from Dubon to my guy. So I'm talking about a Brewers pitcher, of course, but not named Brandon Woodruff. It's Corbin Burnes. And talking about sliders, he had a slider last year with a 53.3% K percentage on it, with an XBA of 163 and a BA of 181. So the slider was highly effective, and it was the second most thrown pitch. And I'm sure Mike will start digging in now that I said that.
No, I've already looked into him. I like him too this year. As long as he starts, I'm like, well, if he starts, I'll be actually excited. Here's the thing.
At his ADP right now, like 460 or 470, whatever it was really high. I think it was like over 460 or 470 right now in early NFBC drafts. I've drafted him on both my NFBC teams. And it's for the simple fact that if he starts, great. If he relieves, I'm fine with that, because I think he's this year's Ryan Pressly. You're looking at a guy with a K per nine of 12.86. The walks are a little concerning at just over 3.5. But the walks, I guess, can be concerning. But, dude, the home run rate is not realistic. It's not going to sustain. His strand rate was crazy low at 57.4%. It's just one of those things. It's like his ground ball percentage was actually better than Shane Bieber's. So it's like there's obviously a lot of bad luck here. When he gets hit. Like when someone puts contact on the ball, it goes. ERA of 8.82 and a FIP of 6.09. Ouch. You look at the XFIP though of 3.37 and the Sierra of 3.55. It shows that there is a stark contrast between the ERA and some of the indicators. So there's a lot of things to like about him. And again, that strikeout rate, at the very least, he could be this year's Ryan Pressly, multi-inning relief pitcher that helps you with ratios, Ks, and fall into a few saves. And my biggest thing is that I'm hoping he starts, but even if he stays in relief role, with all this hater talk, I think you could see Burnes fall into that closer role in a similar fashion, maybe a more two-inning fashion. So maybe he falls into 10 or 15 saves on the high end. You can't bank on that, but I think that potential outcome is there with their current setup in their bullpen. So that there's a lot of different directions to go. I think at the very least you're getting that middle relief guy that a lot of people like to target in roto leagues for ratio support. I think he's going to give you that. He'll get you some wins, maybe fall into a couple saves, but can go either direction as a starter or as a solid innings eater out of the bullpen. So,
and really quick, I decided to look up minimum. I did like a minimum 250 pitches. So, mm-hmm. because I know he pitched in the pen a little bit last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. His slider, he was ranked number one for swing strike rate. He's 35.2%.
I want a shout out on the tweet you put out about it now.
He beat out Liam Hendricks' slider somehow. Corbin throws it a lot more, so he can't really, but better than Will Smith's slider, better than Ken Giles' slider.
Like other relief pitchers that focus. Stands out to me, that start that he had when he was like one of his first starts, he only went like three and like a third inning. Like it was like a three and a third inning. He went like, I don't think he made it out of four because he had eight Ks like in that one first start. I was like, what the?
I remember watching his first start. Exactly. You remember that start, and it was like, I think it was like his first eight or nine batters. Like you said, he struck out. I was actually just looking at it now because I wanted to touch on that outing. It was his first outing. He went five innings, but he struck out 12 batters in five innings.
So, okay. I thought he didn't make it that far. I just remember him striking out everybody, and I guess he did it efficiently. And his home – that's the thing. His home run to fly ball rate was 38.6%. Like, really? Like, are we really good? Like, come on. Like, in all seriousness, it's ridiculous. He really just got killed by a long ball last year. I think the home run rate improves. And again, he's a pitcher who got more of ground balls than Shane Bieber, and that's impressive. Not a lot of people can say that, albeit a smaller sample size. But
is he projected in the rotation right now or no?
I don't believe so. That's why you get him at the discount. And if he doesn't break the rotation, again, you know, we get a lot of people on the relief pitcher podcast. We're spoiler alert, we have one every year. He's like, people, a common question is, oh, who are some of those middle relief guys you can get? Oh, I'm getting ahead of the game. I'm telling you now that this is one of those guys you take now, because I think there's going to be some helium, because just for that reason, people are going to be like, oh, well, who's this year's Ryan Presley? Who's this year's Andrew Miller? And at the very least, I think Corbin Burns can give you that. And right now, he is not. Right now, it's Woodruff, Hauser, Brett Anderson, Lindblom, whatever his name is, and Eric Lauer.
The seventh inning guy right now.
But that, I mean, that's realistically what Hader's also. They also have Hader as a closer, and we all know Hader, although he might be the most often closer, I think if they can, they'd like to get him back to a two inning role, which could open the door for more Burns potential. I'm not saying Burns is going to get more than five saves, but I think still getting five saves, maybe two or three wins, like that, I think that's still really valuable in today's fantasy, especially in roto leagues and categories leagues, in today's fantasy. Not format, not layout, the word I can't think of, and just the way it is because of how, you know, pitchers are being utilized. So
No, I'm with you. He's a good pick, because, you know, last season we saw, you know, the Brewers, they don't like to use Hader more than two consecutive days, so that's why you saw guys like Matt Albers getting saves, Junior Guerra, you know, there's opportunity there for sure for him to run into a few saves. So he's a good pick, a good speculative ad there late in drafts.
So that's all nine of them. And because we ran through this podcast again, this is just our way of, you know, one final podcast for the new year. We also want to try to keep podcasts around 30 to 45 minutes. We're trying to cater to that, give you more with less time, so we can, it helps us, helps you, it's perfect. But since we have some extra time, we did get a few questions, and should we just start with the big one that kind of got all the buzz around it? I mean, Cohen decided to put in this question that made us argue for about half an hour. Errol Cohen at ATCNY, is there any merit to punting or at least foregoing roto categories at the draft for a standalone shallow home league, 10, 12 team mix? Essentially, I'm not saying to completely punt, but you can effectively focus away from a category at the draft and use waivers and trades to balance. Me and you might kind of agree on it. I'll let you speak on it first, though, because I know you were the first one to comment when I told you not to.
You told me not to?
Well, I didn't tell you not to. I figured you would realize it's a question for tonight.
Yeah, well, this guy commented, or I don't know, whatever. I don't believe in completely punting. You should never do that, but I tend to not really focus on saves. And personally, myself in fantasy, I've always done this. I've always just worked a wire or drafted guys that were the next man up, and it's always worked out for me. And I, you know, as I said on Twitter, I was in a league with Errol Cohen this year, and I ended up beating him, and I basically didn't bother. I didn't bother drafting saves, and I just worked the wire all year. And eventually I went to middle in the pack saves, but the rest of all the other categories, I was like top five in, because I focused on those instead of just this one single category where relievers are just so erratic and you never know what, you know, I feel like the top guys that go every year, they never pan out. You never profit off them. So personally, I think it is possible. But as we, so on Twitter, other people do not agree.
I think you have the right idea, though. As long as you realize you have to really strengthen up the other categories. But again, you're not completely punting. The idea is, if you're going to be weak somewhere, finish mid-pack. That's what you want to consider weak. Finish mid-pack. And if you have, and if you're really strong, deal from a strength and buy your weakness. That's like, there's always somebody that needs power. There's always somebody that needs speed. If you have excess of it, deal it. But again, it is, you know, league dependent. You just never know who you're gonna find. You might get stuck with who you draft, so you can't depend on trades, but you have to be quick on the wire, be willing to spend the fab. I'm with you, Mike. I mean, I don't necessarily, I like to leave my draft with at least two closers, but they're usually I'll get one guy right around the eighth or ninth round, maybe 10th round. I'll get one guy kind of as my main closer. Then I usually circle around with two guys at the end of drafts. Last year was like a Brandon Workman was a guy, and, you know, stuff like that. So like, and Colome was another one that was late. So like this year, we're going to have to, once we get to RP, we'll talk about it more, but That's my personal strategy. I usually leave with two or three, but it's usually one that's for sure and two that are like somewhat question marks that might fall into 10 saves. So I'm kind of right with you. Like, I just work the wire and try to trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Typically, I'm just not, it's just not my style of play. You know, I like to try to come out of the draft, you know, pretty balanced. But if there is one category, you know, the question didn't specifically, I don't know if it specifically, you know, talked about saves in particular, but you know that closers have the biggest turnover. So, you know, that's the, if you're going to do it on a category, it's going to be for saves. And yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I like to come out with at least one, you know, solid closer. I did have a lot of, you know, Alex Colome, those kind of late guys, late in drafts. And then you can, they're always there. You know, Liam Hendricks, Emilio Pagan, even, you know, Mark Melanson late, Joe Jimenez late,
Hector Neris. Yeah, sure. I know Hansel Robles, he was definitely not touched. He was not drafted at all. When I responded with those names, he didn't respond back to that tweet of all things. Because it was like a proven point, like, well, if it's it was a little frustrating when he commented on the whole, it doesn't mean it's competitive. It means it's not competitive or whatever. I'm like, I don't buy into that because, again, the names that we just named, if you drafted even half those names, kudos in a 10 or 12 teamer, kudos to you. Right. 15 teamers, Hansel Robles, I did draft and holds last year. Robles went undrafted in 50 round draft and holds. Like, I had him on one team by sheer, like, and because he was, when I drafted him, he was still in the Mets, I think, or wherever he got traded from. Or dropped from, or wherever. He wasn't even on the Angels at the time. Like, he wasn't brought to the Angels to be a closer. He was like the third in line, and because of injuries, he fell into it and took advantage.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the season, who would have thought that Mark Melanson would have been relevant in the second half? You know,
that's what I'm saying. So, or Liam Hendricks, exactly. Although wasn't Hendricks one of those eighth inning guys you might have maybe came out of your draft with?
Well, yeah, but again, that's someone that you could have got at the end of the draft for a dollar.
Yeah, and it's not someone that you're drafting in 10 to 12 team leagues, which this question is alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why it's like, I did take a little bit of exception to that. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, I don't think he meant any offense by it, but I was like, to call it, I mean, I'm like, I've played, like, that's just never been my experience, especially in my home leagues. So we can move on from that question. It kind of falls right into MLB moving averages. He's a good guy. I talked to him a lot behind the scenes, but he's talking about draft champions formats with an overall component early. And he's saying, as far as tackling saves, because this was a save conversation, with an incomplete data set given it so early, do you spread those late RP spots out on cherry pick talent, or do you stay within one team hoping those ops? I guess I'll answer this. I know you guys don't really do draft champions, especially this early. So at least my thing has been kind of tackling that. I usually get two closers in this format that I know have a job, barring injury or a random trade coming up. Like these two, like, I usually grab two guys, and it's usually in that 10 to 15, you know, rank range in my ranks of closers. I expect to get 20 to 30 ops, or prior to being traded, or have it, like I said, have a sure job. And then I'll aim for my Corbin Burns late. I might attack a certain, like, you can get the Tigers guys late right now, so I might stick to a team in that aspect. And yeah, lately I've tried to handcuff my main guys, but I always try to get two and then play them. And then I play the matchups or the likelihood or chase the talent late. But I do, at the very least, like I said, I'm reiterating it, I always have two guys that have the job for sure as of right now, and guys I think will have the job for sure entering the season. That's how I attack early. Because, again, draft champions formats, if you're not familiar, they're 50-team draft and hold formats, no waivers, no nothing. So, yeah, that's how I do them. I mean, I guess, again, I know I handled the question, but it's because I know I'm probably the only one that's, like, crazy enough doing drafts right now. Like, I've done two already, so. Yeah, it's probably, I just probably burned $300. No big deal. Whatever. next question is from David Swan at Davithius. I love that. Do you believe the IL switch from 10 to 15 day will make a difference on SPs? George, do you think that?
I mean, I think so. I think you'll see less of these, you know, phantom, you know, DL injuries. Stints.
No more Dodgers.
Yeah, phantom injuries. So. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Dodgers can't play that game this year. That's going to be huge. It's going to be interesting.
Thank gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it will play a factor.
And I'm guessing you agree, Mike,
I agree. I was going to bring up the Dodgers and just say I'm just glad they can't play those stupid games anymore.
Well, you did just bring them up. So
Yeah, and yeah, just
question. I mean, oh, sorry, I was just going to transition. No, that's fine. Do you have anything else? You have anything else to add?
Yeah, go on. No,
all right, because yeah, it's redundant. We all agree. Got it. Who?
Such a D-I-C-K. I spelled it. I didn't say it.
You better hope the kid that's in the car listening is older than like 7 or younger than 7 and can't spell. Or if a 7-year-old, if a 6-year-old can't spell. Regardless. All right. At Kopecky QB9. He asked this question and I just saw it as we were recording. So I don't have any answers off the top of my head, but I'm hoping you do, Mike, because you're the most prepared when it comes to starting pitchers, obviously. Who is this year's Shane Bieber? Highly targeted late round SP who is going to live up to the hype. Was he late rounds last year, or was he like in shallow formats? Like, was he? Like,
I mean, I would say like middle, not late.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it depends on the depth of the format, right? Like, so I'm picturing guys in that round, guys that you were probably ranking in that 35 to like a 45, that range maybe. But either way, Mike, who are a couple names that you think could take that next step?
I don't know. So, like we were just saying, we don't really know exactly where he went. But the first thing that popped in my head was Zach Allen. I feel like he's going like middle of the pack, and I feel like everyone's trying to target him, but I think he deserves it. I mean, the guy has so many different pitches, and he proved how good he was last year. He's on a pretty good team too, which is going to get you wins. Kind of, are you just signed because he left the Marlins? Is that why?
Well, that too, but
or are you just not a fan of him?
No, I'm sick of the
love.
The helium is just, it's getting bad.
Well, makes sense. I mean, he's essentially what Bieber was last year. He's targeted a lot. He's in the middle of rounds, and he has the skill to do it, and the pitches to do it. So that would be my Shane Bieber for this year.
What about possibly Andrew Heaney type?
I was going to say, don't even say Brandon Woodruff.
Right, yeah.
Woodruff is
going to be. I thought you were going to say that, Mike.
although you alluded to it, somebody that you're a big fan of really likes Woodruff, and it's upsetting you.
I'm going to have to reach out to them and ask why.
Yeah, so when I saw this question, the first thing I think of just right away, I'm thinking, okay, who's got good control and, a good slider, good swinging strike rate? And the first guy I think of is Joe Musgrove.
Goodness, we're not doing this again.
Yeah, I think he can, take that next step. I'm still on that Joe Musgrove, dude. I still like him.
he just broke my heart. Last year, it was before Mike was a part of this, so I would text the group, Mike. I think me and George both had a good amount of shares of Musgrove, and I sat him every good start. I started him every bad start, and it was so aggravating because he was just one of those guys that matchup didn't matter. He could dominate Colorado, he could dominate the Rockies in Colorado, but struggle against the Giants in San Fran. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
He was one of those, and it was maddening. So I couldn't get it right. So I ended up dropping him, and then he went on like a 3 or 4 start run, picked him up, and he like killed me for 3 starts. And I was like, I'm done with him. So no, he's one of those. And I think I'm just swearing him off at this point. Like, I don't want to, I'm not doing it again. He broke my heart. But yeah, I get it. And I know Spore is a fan of his. It's hard to ignore because we talked about some of the underlying numbers on that podcast, and yeah, I can understand it, but I'm just not gonna go down that, not doing it, just not doing it this year.
We just got asked another question, by the way.
Did we? What is it? Read it. Mm-hmm. Read it. And who's from
Cam at Gusto _121? Who comes back down to earth if the ball switches back, and what pitchers benefit from the ball switching back?
Well, Corbin Burns. I was gonna say right away. Well, you asked the question this time. Away, it's like names that like got like even Verlander types. Like Verlander could be even that much better, because he had a home run issue last year.
Matt Boyd,
Syndergaard.
Yeah. I was gonna say anyone who has a home run issue.
Madison Bumgarner.
I was thinking Madbum. Madbum actually came to mind, but then I was looking at higher. Bauer could really benefit from that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like pretty much insert pitcher name here will benefit.
Yeah, just guys who give up. You think about guys who give up hard contact on, and give up, a lot of fly balls. Yeah, so, you know, all those names we mentioned, someone maybe like Caleb Smith.
Oh, yeah, he was the one I just clicked on to.
Yep. Yeah, so we're all kind of in the same line of thinking there with those
so
guys.
So who do you guys think would come back to Earth? I guess he's asking hitter-wise.
Pete Alonso.
Eduardo Escobar.
No. Okay, definitely yeah. Eduardo Escobar.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a great one. He's a huge He's a huge fade for me this year. People want, like, if you have a share in Dynasty Leagues, you know what? You want Dynasty Talk? There, here it is. Sell high in Dynasty. Boom. Dynasty Talk. What's up? Yeah, that's about – yeah, he's a huge one. You got to think Ketel Marte maybe.
I was thinking Marte with the power.
I think there's enough change in the profile to back up being a 25 home run guy, but I don't think you should expect more than that. I mean, I think his projection from Steamer is like 22 home runs. So I think he'd be one of those guys that – just, you know, he's not a 30 home run guy now, you know, with the ball like that. DJ LeMahieu probably, although that ballpark will help sustain a lot, some of it. So McNeil might take a big hit too. McNeil isn't a power guy as it is.
He's gonna be
yeah,
perfect.
Just a lot of
he's
these guys who, yeah, a lot of these guys who just hadn't had a track record of power in the minors, and now, you know, they came up and flashed some power last season, and we're thinking they can carry that over, you know, maybe. Maybe it'll make someone like Tommy Edman like a bust if people are thinking he's going to give, you know, some power with that speed. I mean, you know, it's going to affect, you know, everyone across the board, really.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, yeah, it helps all pitchers, it hurts all hitters, but then it just adds that much more value to your Arenados again. You can't, you know, your Rendones take a little bit of a hit, even your Devers, unfortunately. But, I mean, let's see, guys, I'm trying to think of guys like Machado would actually – probably gain value because I think him and even a Suarez type, as much as you aren't a fan of his, I think they sustain the power because of whatever it may be, ballpark or just skill set. So you just got to kind of, you got to just look at like definitely like, oh, Yuli Gurriel is a huge name that would definitely, I mean, I'm already down on him as it is. He's got to definitely take a hit, but like a Miguel Sano, you know, the power is legit. He doesn't need a juice ball to put up 50.
Right.
Like, so it's like, you just got to really, got to downgrade the guys that, like you said, just kind of, I told myself I wouldn't do this. I'm reiterating what you said. Okay, I'm going to stop now. I told myself I wouldn't do this. Is that going to do it, though? Is that all the questions? It was actually a light mailbag. Cool. All right. So we'll keep it simple, guys. Thank you so much for throwing us your questions. If we missed any, we apologize. We'll definitely tackle them on the next one. But again, this is the last podcast before the new year, guys. So happy new year. Hope you enjoyed your holidays. And again, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm Mike. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. We have the other Mike here at SP Streamer. We have George at JMontanez90. Season's about to really get going for us. We're writing a lot. We're going to get podcasting 2 or 3 pods a week, hopefully. Don't forget to please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you listen. It really, apparently really helps out. It helps be viewable on all these platforms a little better. So a rating and review is greatly appreciated. And that's going to do it, guys. So, again, we just appreciate listening, and we'll talk to you soon.